Amen. I gotta tell y'all, keep playing, Charles. Keep playing, Charles. I gotta tell you guys, it does my heart good to look out and see you guys faithfully serving and here every week. It's not lost on me when one of you are not here. I'm missing you. And so to get to look up and see you again, what a gracious thing that is. Does my heart good. We are going to be, this week, we're going to look at the book of James. And yes, we were intentional in having James being read as our responsible reading. And so I do want to thank Elder Cashin for doing a lovely job and leading us in that devotion. This morning, we're going to be in the book of James, same chapter, the final chapter, chapter number 5. Verses 12 through 20. And if you look in your bulletins, you may not find the title of today's message. I'm not sure. Is it in y'all's bulletin? Is there? It's like that for a reason. I like that. I intentionally didn't put it in there. James chapter number 5, verses 12 through 20. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. As is our practice, I would ask that you will stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word once you have found it. And listen, just for the record, I got permission not to wear a suit today, so if that's bothering somebody, let me make it. Remember what we talked about at the beginning of service. Lord, help me to accept your vision for North Oaks above my own. And if Pastor doesn't have a suit, I cannot have a heart attack. I got plenty of suits at home, trust me. James chapter number 5, verses 12 through 20. Looks like the choir has made their way in. I want to specifically look at just one verse. As a matter of fact, one portion of one verse. That is James chapter 5, verse 16b. Larry probably already knew what verse I was going to read. James chapter number 5, verse 16. I want to look at that second half of verse 16. Here's how my Bible reads. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I like the way the King James put it. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Y'all, I grew up on that King James. I memorized all my verses in King James. And if you hear me preaching from time to time and I go back there, let me make it. Amen. I'd like to speak briefly this morning from this subject. Now is the time to reestablish communication with God. Now is the time to reestablish communication with God. I got one amen. I'll take it. Now, last week, we agreed that indeed now is the time to keep our vow to God. And with today's title, I can admit the presence of the obvious connection, the subliminal theme of restoration. Family, here in 2025, I want us as a body of believers to be intentional about seizing every opportunity for restoration by prioritizing our chance to get it right with God. To get it right with God. Let me begin by saying that James is widely considered the most practical, if not the one of the most practical books in the New Testament. Even maybe all of Scripture. One scholar has rightly called it a marriage of Proverbs and the Sermon on the Mount. James argues, family, that despite the reality of heavy persecution, Despite the reality of our imperfect world, the believer's lifestyle ought to be consistent with his or her faith. The believer's lifestyle ought to be consistent with his or her faith, both individually, the believer individually, you and me, and corporately as a body, in light of the revelation of our perfect God and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In other words, we ought to possess, North Oaks, what we profess, and we ought to do it consistently. Let me say that again. Family, we ought to possess what we profess, and we ought to do it with consistency. Dave, you would agree with that, right? Y'all heard Dave say it, so you know it's the gospel. Family, some of us closed out 2024 with the same inconsistency towards our God. No doubt some of us closed out 2024 with the same inconsistency toward our God, and yet through his loving kindness and tender mercies, God has ushered us into the dawn of a brand new 2025. And that's good news. This morning, God is speaking to us through his word that now is the time to reestablish communication with him. And he does so by giving us no less than 5 prescriptions for reestablishing effective communication with him for our own sustained perseverance. Let me say that again. God has telling us this morning through his word that now is time to reestablish communication with him, and he does so by giving us, Wayne, no less than 5 prescriptions for reestablishing effective communication with him, and it is for our own sustained perseverance. Bill, it's a big deal. Consistency matters to God. Northos, God says, today I am prescribing number one, are you interested? God says, I'm prescribing, number one, I have a prescription for your patience. A prescription for patience. It's right there in verse number 12. But above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. A prescription for patience. Family, this speaks of what I want to call confidence in God's timing. Confidence in God's timing. First of all, we have there, avoid swearing. Right there in verse 12. Why? Matthew, I like the way Jesus, our Lord, put it in Matthew chapter number 5. Beginning with verse 33, about 33 through 37. Listen to what Jesus says. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. Kind of what we talked about last week. Verse 34, but I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet. It all belongs to God. Or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your own head, for get this, you cannot make one hair white or black. So that's proof folk had white hair even then. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. It's an interesting thing. Northos, by simply respond, and we're talking about this, we're going over this because this is an area for us to seize the opportunity to get it right with God. It's a new year. By simply responding with yes and no, we essentially admit, get this, some things are beyond our control. And that is the key, Wayne. We want to act as if we control everything. When we just tell folks, yes, I'm going to do it, or no, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, we should just leave it there. Because we're acknowledging that something is beyond our control. Family, when we as Christians acknowledge our limitations, then whomever we are communicating with has no choice but to accept our position of subjection under our master, Jesus Christ. Where then, Pastor, if this is about confidence in God's timing, where then is this confidence to come from? I'm glad you asked. Consistent prayer. This confidence in God's timing, when we say yes and we say no, we can leave it there because we're confident in God's timing that it's going to happen when God says. And it's right there in 13 through 20. That's what we're about to go through right now. The Lord said, I'm prescribing North Oaks. For our sustained perseverance, I have a prescription for your patience. Speaks of confidence in my time, in God's timing. But secondly, God says, I have a prescription for persecution and prosperity. I have a prescription for times of your persecution and times of your prosperity. It's right there in verse 13. It's right there in verse 13. And what this speaks to North Oaks, the context for direct prayer. I'm gonna unpack that, trust me. The context for direct prayer is right there in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Oh, I don't get no plainer than that. We have here, first of all, we have external suffering from without, not suffering from within our own bodies. This is going to be external suffering, and external suffering should prompt individual prayer. That's why when a joker called me, Pastor, can you pray for me? Absolutely. Have you prayed for yourself first? Tell me where you are, and I'll pick up there. External suffering should prompt individual prayer. It's right there in verse 13a. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. James employs the Greek word kakapatheo. I don't like using a bunch of Greek words, but I'm going to use it here because I want to express something. This speaks to why I called it external suffering, that kakapatheo is specifically talking about a hardship, things that happen to us, hardships or toil or distress. It's kind of like being ill-treated. Everybody with a job know what being ill-treated is. I like the way the psalmist put it in Psalm 34. Verse 19 to 22, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That word affliction is the same word for suffering. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Put a pin there. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Even shall slay the wicked. Evil shall slay the wicked. And those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Oh, that's good news. And every syllable, that's good news. External suffering. But not only external suffering, and that is anyone among you suffering, then he must pray. Well, followed by that, we have internal joy. Internal joy. Internal joy should prompt individual praise. External suffering should prompt individual prayer. Internal joy should prompt individual praise. That's why I love your prayer today, Chris. Did y'all catch it? Chris said, Lord, we thank you for all you've done, and we praise you for what you're doing. Did you hear that? It's right there in verse 13b. Is anyone cheerful? Is anyone joyful? Is anyone elated? He is to sing praises. I like the way biblical scholar J. Ronald Blue puts it. He says, quote, suffering should elicit prayer and sufficiency should elicit praise. It's amazing how that works. So whether we're in a season of suffering or sufficiency, we ought to be consistent in our response. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34:1. It does not matter what we're facing in 20. Sometimes we're going to be up. Sometimes we're going to be down. But our response should be consistent. Our response should remain the same. I'm going to bless the Lord in the sufferings as well as in the soaring. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. God says, I'm prescribing a prescription for your patience. I'm going to prescribe a prescription for persecution and prosperity. And then God says, I got a prescription for restoration and purification. It's right there in verses 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Now, obviously, this is one of those verses. And so if you stay with me, I won't lose you. Lord says, I got a prescription for restoration and purification. North Oaks, this speaks to what I want to call the context for directed prayer. Oh, yeah, we're talking about a persecution and prosperity. That was the context for direct prayer. Don't miss it. This is directed prayer. In other words, when and to whom should I disclose my personal sin? Now, let me just say, it breaks my heart. I don't have all the answers as far as pastoring. When somebody said, you only been doing it 6 months. True. I don't have all the answers. I can tell you one thing. Bringing some young lady up here and putting her in front of the church and shaming her, that ain't this. And that is going on. May it never be in this church. May it never be in this church or young man, but some kind of way, the ladies, I got to tell you, y'all catch it worse. I know some women should at least say amen to that one. Oh, I cracks myself up. Prescription for restoration and purification. First thing we see is internal suffering. Internal suffering should prompt group prayer. Internal suffering shall prompt group prayer. It's right there in verse 14. Is anyone among them sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him. First of all, is anyone among you sick? Asteneo. That is weak or sick. Usually a physical ailment. But notice this. This isn't just any group. Internal suffering should prompt group prayer, but this isn't just any group. This is a directed, a qualified, a specific group. The elders of the church. The elders of the church. Paul put it masterfully in Galatians 6:1. Listen to this. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one look into yourself so that you too will not be tempted. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You see why dragging somebody before the whole church and airing their dirty laundry ain't the way we ought to do it? Let me explain something to you. When I come down here on Sunday morning and I'm doing the invitation, and I make the invitation, and an individual walks down here, you know the first thing I do? I cut my mic. Anybody knows that? I cut my mic. Tell you why? Let me put it in a sophisticated way. It ain't none of your business what they come down here and tell me. I'll just keep moving. In verse 15a, the Bible says that the prayer offered in faith will restore sozo, the one who is sick. The prayer offered in faith. Now, look at that. It says, call the elders of the church there to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Symbolic. Representing of the work of the Spirit. Because look at verse 5. It does not say the prayer and the oil. Do y'all see that? Look at your Bible. It says that the prayer offered in faith. It doesn't say that the prayer and the mixture of oil together with the, and that's what's going to heal them. Y'all ain't going to help me preach today. That word sozo. It is the common word where it says to restore, to say. It is the common word for salvation in Scripture. In other words, if you go through the whole Bible and you pull out the word salvation or save, it's most of the time, predominantly, it's going to be the word sozo, the Greek word sozo. And that word, New Testament, and that word, it means to physically save. Let me give you an example. We know the story because we like to beat up Peter for whatever reason. He says, Lord, that's you. Bid me to come to you. God said, come. Peter stepped out the boat in the storm. Y'all remember the waves that turned the boat up. Peter steps out and starts walking on water. Bible says that when he took his eyes off Jesus, what happened? Now, listen, I done had a long week. What happened when Peter took his eyes? I can go over there in that nursery. He starts sinking. What happened when Peter took his eyes off Jesus? And what did Peter say? Lord, save me. That was a prayer. That was a prayer. And that was the word sozo, the common word for saving. Peter wasn't asking, Lord, give me eternal life. Peter was saying, Lord, I'm about to die. Save me from death. That's what we're talking about right here. That's what we're talking about right here. Look at what it says here. Spiritual sickness, the forgiveness of sins, is for God alone. Spiritual sickness, forgiveness of sins, that is God's business alone. It's right there in verse 15b. And if he has committed sin, they will be forgiven him. Actually, let me go back a little bit. And restore him, restore the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him by the Lord. North Oaks, the key here is the operative word, if you will, is confess. Directed confession. Here's what I don't want you to do. Don't leave this place and get on Facebook and start putting all your business out there. Because once folk have it, like G.E. Patterson said, they're going to have it. The Bible has given us the Lord has given us a prescription. God says, I give you a prescription for patience, speaks to the confidence in my timing, give a prescription for persecution and prosecution. Persecution and prosperity speaks to the context for direct prayer. God says, I'm going to give you a prescription for restoration and purification, the context for directed prayer. And fourthly, God says, I got a prescription for prolific power. For prolific power, and that speaks to the context for disclosing personal sin. Write down verses 16 through 18. And I'm going to read them as such. Verse 16a. Look at that first part of verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, I said on Wednesday night, if you're not coming to North Oaks on Wednesday nights, let me invite you. Come to North Oaks on Wednesday nights. We're in an amazing book, and we're learning some things. As God gives me a little bit of information, I try to share it. That word, therefore, you look at verse 16a, therefore, that's what you call theologically or syntactically. That's going to be a logical marker. That's a logical marker when you see those transitional words like therefore. And what it does, it adds reason to the purpose just recorded in verses 14 and 15. Very important that you get this right or you're going to end up in left field. 16a is a marker. It's going to add more, a further reason for the purpose that's recorded in verse 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? He's to call the elders of the church. They're to pray of him, anoint him with oil. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sin, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Why is that important? Look at verse 16b. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, Scripture often uses the term righteous in a forensic or legal type sense in which a person is declared righteous. Speaking of what we call the doctrine of justification, it says that you filthy, but righteousness has been imputed unto you through faith. Not because you've been righteous, but through faith, righteousness has been transferred from God to you. And I'll give you a hint. The other transfer was your filth going to Jesus at Calvary. Now that's one sense of righteousness. However, here I believe James is representing right living. Right living. Or the doctrine of sanctification. It is a demonstrated as opposed to imputed righteousness. It goes back to what I was telling you about a minute ago in the beginning. It's time that we be consistent. A consistent demonstration of right living. Moreover, the righteous man in verse 16b, look at it there. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man is syntactically referencing the elders of the church in verses 14 and 15 who offer prayer and anointing, which is tied directly to Galatians 6 and 1. Let you who are spiritually mature, the spiritual one. Why am I taking so much time to explain this? Let me tell you something. Just because somebody walked down here and say, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, died, and he took my sins to Calvary, and because of my faith in him, I'm right with God. That's true. That ain't the person you want to be confessing to. That's not the one you want to be confessing to. Look at verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. This is in line with the therefore. This is a further reason, a further explanation of the purpose point that the one who's sick need to call the elders. We're not going to jump to some other context. We're going to stay right here. James advances his logical argument by providing examples. Yes, he provides two examples. Here they go. First of all, he gives the example of a righteous man. Well, you're talking about a righteous man. I'm telling you, it's sanctification, not justification, based on the context. Here's your example. a righteous man. What did he talk about? He trusted God. No, this is what he did. Elijah did these things. And then he turned around and did these things. He demonstrated a lifestyle of consistency. An example of a righteous man, the emphasis is on Elijah's humanity. The fact that he was a normal person just like us. He had faults. He had good things. He had bad things. He wasn't perfect. He was a human being just like us. And yet he was a righteous man. Got the example of Elijah as a righteous man, focused on his emphasis on his humanity. And then we have the example of effective prayer. First of all, we got a prayer that is aligned with God's will and timing against sin. Elijah knew what was going on. He didn't just come roll up out of bed and say, I feel like stirring up some stuff. I don't like these folk. Let me sit here and curse them. That ain't what he did. Somebody burnt my toast. I'm finna curse this person. That's not what Elijah did. Elijah recognized God's hand in his life, what God's will for with his people, what God was doing. And he said, God, I'm going to let you use me to carry out your judgment on your people. It's in 1 Kings chapter number 17. Go and read it if you want, but let me break it down for you. Israel was cutting up consistently. Elijah said, ain't going to rain. And then Elijah turned around and prays in the rain. This is a prayer aligned with God's will and timing for restoration. For restoration. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Northos, God said, I got some prescriptions for you. Now is the time to reestablish communication with me. And I'm going to give you five prescriptions for reestablishing effective communication. It is for your own sustained perseverance. Number one, God says, I got a prescription for, now listen, don't be the one to get the prescription and don't show up and feel the thing. I put a lot of time in. This thing is going to your pharmacist. You know where your pharmacist is? Right next to your bed when you crawl on your knees and you pray. That's when you go into the pharmacy. Don't be the one with a stack of prescriptions unfilled talking about, I don't think I'm getting any better. Y'all ain't going to help me preach today, I tell you what. God said, I got a prescription for patience, speaks to the confidence in his timing. God said, I have a prescription for persecution and prosperity, whether good or bad. I bless the Lord at all times. Speak to the context for a direct prayer. God says, I got a prescription for restoration and purification. Speak to the context of directed prayer. When should I and whom should I confess my sin to? God says I have a prescription for prolific power. The context for disclosing personal sins. Fifthly and finally, are you interested? God says I have a prescription for restored fellowship. Restored fellowship is right there in verses 19 and 20. And what this speaks to the context for delivering revival. I'm going to come back there. I got something real cute for that. Look at verse 19 and 20. My brethren, this whole thing is to Christians. This is to the church that's being persecuted, no doubt, vigorously. None of these folk are unbelievers. From the top to the bottom. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, now, listen, we can stray from the truth in doctrine and in behavior or our walk. We can walk wrong or we can talk wrong. My goodness. Chris, this is a cold bunch in here today. This is a cold bunch. Listen, let me say, I walk wrong sometimes. I talk wrong sometimes. Not none of y'all. If anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns him back towards the truth, implied, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save, his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. what the Bible says here will save his soul. That word soul here should be translated as the individual, as your individual life. In other words, just because you are absolutely a Christian and you start doing some things wrong or you start turning your life over to sin, God might take you out of here. Y'all remember Ananias and Sapphira, right? Tried to shank the Holy Spirit. God said, phew. The Bible said that there were those taking the Lord's Supper and they were drunk. The Bible says some of those folks died physically. In other words, the implication is a Christian whose lifestyle is, God said, well, I done saved this person, but I see they don't want to turn from it. Let me go ahead and take him out of here because he's of no use to me. Does that mean that we have salvation? Especially not in this sense. No. It means that God says, come on home. You're going the wrong direction. I can't use you right now because you're turning yourself over to sin. Let me just call you home. I expected it to get quiet right here. Prescription for restored fellowship. This is how we are to save. In other words, that thing gonna kill you. When you see somebody doing something you know good well ain't good for them, you say, hey, my brother, I love you. But if you don't stop this thing gonna get you. It's not saying it's gonna cause you to lose your salvation. You my brother. But God might take you out of here. That word, let me give you further proof. That word revival, anybody know what that word means? Amen. Anybody know what revival means? Yes. Young lady, was that a young person? Who said that? What does revival mean, Jane? Jane says revival is return to the excitement of being a Christian and sharing the Lord. And let me just tell you something. Give her a hand. It ain't easy to sit there and say, you know what, what some mean when pastor asks you. Because they're like, man, I don't know. I don't want to be wrong. That's correct. Let me give you a more technical definition. Are you listening? I don't ever want you to forget this. Because we often look at revival the wrong way. Don't ever forget this. Put this in your mental Rolodex. Revival is to give life, return life, back to that which previously had life. That is why, you remember I was telling y'all about I'm here and the vision is here and I'm going to cast it soon. I am. We don't have a revival here. Soon. The revival is not focused on getting people out there to come in here and sit on the front row and say, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I'm going to sit on this front row and I'm going to sit here every day until I accept Jesus Christ and then I'm going to become a believer. Those folk ain't had life. The revival is going to be focused on the people who are sitting here right now who need what Jane said. Jane, what did you call that? Being excited, returning excitement to those about their Christianity and sharing the Lord. That's what revival is. I got one somebody. I'm telling you. It needs to be your birthday every day, baby, because I'm telling you. She backing me up. That is what revival is. And I'm almost in my seat. Prescription for restored fellowship. These are Christians, brethren, who have lost their excitement like a walking dead person. The context for delivering revival. Powerful and efficacious prayer. James already told us, if you back up to chapter number 1, verse 21, therefore putting aside all filthiness. This is the kind of stuff that's going, man, that thing ain't going to get you. Putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word that's already been implanted, which is able to save your soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you gave us another chance to get this thing right with you. Indeed, Lord, you said it. Now is the time that we fulfill our vows to you. Now is the time that we reestablish communication with you. And you're such a good God. Well, you didn't leave that up to us. But you have prescribed in your word. If we want to find out and mind there exactly the way it's supposed to be done. Lord, we thank you. We trust you. We need you. It is you who has made us and not we ourselves. You determine how you're supposed to be worshipped. Tell us, God. We'll do what you say do. We'll go where you say go. We want to magnify you by minimizing ourselves that we can somehow through your grace be consistent in serving. These prayers are asked in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to, you can remain standing. I just want to thank God. I want to thank God for what he has done in this church over these last 6 months. As a matter of fact, not just these last 6 months, what he's been doing for years to get us to where we are right now. And if I'm the only one that's excited about this, y'all forgive me. But I thank God for what I see. I thank God for what I feel. The love I have in my heart for you guys, it's real. And yeah. Now listen. Here's the reality. If nobody else know that's the case, she know. It's a real love I have in my heart for y'all, and I thank God for you, each and every one of you. Let me give us a benediction from here, and after this benediction, Kelly will sing us out. Is that all right? Now unto him, every head bowed, every eye closed. Keep playing, Charles. Now unto him who was able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.